Amen. It sure is good to see everyone tonight on this kind of rainy night. I told Brandy, I said that kind of brought back some memories about this time last year. I remember that Wednesday night, it was raining pretty hard and all that kind of stuff. So it just kind of brought back memories. But I'm very thankful and glad that you're here tonight and got a business meeting to take care of tonight. Several items there to look at, but just real excited about this study, and I guess maybe I've missed part of it, part of what's going on. Sometimes you see the social media stuff, and sometimes you don't, I guess, and Brandy was asking me about it, if I'd seen all that about people talking about the rapture, and I guess mainly a lot of people are kind of poking fun at it. You know, they have these little flags, these little things up that you can mark yourself safe from and all that, so like sometimes when you have a hurricane or something, people say, I'm marked safe from the hurricane so people can see and know that, hey, I'm okay or what have you. And I think some people were making a post along those lines and making fun of the rapture. And I'm like, you just really don't know how serious of a thing that you're talking about. I don't know. It just really made me think about it. It's something I know we've studied before and talked about maybe. And maybe some folks have heard about it, maybe wondering about it. When's it going to happen? I can't tell you that, but there's an order to things. Sometimes people I've talked to think, oh, no, the church is going to go through the rapture. And I'm like, I don't think Scripture will back that up. You know, that's the beautiful thing in what we have and having the Bible. It tells us what we need to know. We're not going to know everything. We're not going to understand everything. But it absolutely tells us what we need to know. And as I was looking at that, I got to thinking, you know, maybe there's some young folks or folks that maybe even listening online or what have you that would like to know more about it. And I just, that's where my heart went immediately when I woke up this morning and started studying there. But if you'd like to, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Probably familiar scripture to most people, a lot of people, if not in a message setting, maybe at a funeral setting. That's when a lot of times the second coming or passing from this life to the next, a lot of times that's when that is mentioned or brought up. And it's just important that we know what the Bible has to say about things, especially as something as important as this. Just like I said, I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but I can tell you how to be ready. And that has truly been on my heart the last few days. I was just kind of thinking to myself, and I was like, you know, it's kind of like, follow me, it's kind of like being a travel agent. And you're trying to help people get from one place to another. And even more important than that, it's that you want to keep everybody together while you're going there. You don't want to lose anybody. I'm not talking about salvation. You want to keep the members of the church together while you're traveling on to that destination. It's continually doing a head count, I guess you'd say, and just keeping up with people and the importance of it and the importance of having a church family. That's something we just started last week in our Sunday school class, is a study on the church covenant. And I tell you, that would do good for all of us. I know some people... just kind of looking at some commentary and listening to some folks talk about it. That's something that they read on a monthly basis, some churches. And as a reminder of what we're committing to, what that covenant is about. And it's important. You won't find every single thing in there that's in here, but that's a good outline to go by. When you think about joining a church, we'll be opening the doors of the church tonight and saying, well, what am I committing to? What am I committing to? You'll see that in that study, those in the class. But I'm looking forward to that study. Just want to make mention of that and also be in prayer for CFC tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is my week of study and looking at the topic of understanding or knowing God's thoughts versus our own thoughts. And that was a question that one of the students had. But if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18. And this is teaching that Paul had concerning the dead. He's explaining things. And so what happened is, in this scenario here, there was a letter that was written to the church at Thessalonica. Paul had written this to them, trying to explain to them how this works, about there's going to be a rapture, the church is going to be called out, and all those that are saved by grace are going to go into heaven at that time to later return at the end of the tribulation period. And we'll touch on that just a little bit. But what happened also is people in this time that were not part of the church had this church believing, convinced that the rapture had already taken place, and is all kind of confused about things. That's why there's a second Thessalonians. That's why there's another one. But just to let you know, you're going to find typology and teaching about the rapture all throughout God's Word. I've had friends that I've talked with, and you know, they said, you know, the rapture, this is a relatively new thing. Just came out maybe 100 or so years ago. That's a new thing that man has come up with. And I want to tell you, it's not. This God's Word was written thousands of years ago. It's been settled, and it's been set in stone since then. Man may learn things at different times or what have you, but this is not a new teaching. This has been here, and I want you to know and understand that. When you start doing studies online, Googling things, you're going to hear things, see things, and then you got to try to figure out, well, who's saying that? Are they trustworthy? I want you tonight just to see straight from God's Word what Paul has to say, what God's Word has to say about this topic. And it's not going to be all-inclusive, but I will say this. You go back and you read about Enoch in the Old Testament. He walked with the Lord and then he was no more. You see some typology there. That's typology of what it's going to be like for those who are alive and remain at the time of Jesus' return. We'll be walking and then we're no more. It happens just like that. So just something to be thinking about. We'll read these verses and we'll get into this tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you may sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. Lord, we love you and just thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you've given to us, this time that you've allowed us to come together for study and business meeting for the church, God. And it's just important to just come together and take care of these things prayerfully, cautiously, and do it the way you'd have us to, God. And Lord, I just pray that you help me, help my heart, help my mind. Lord, give me the presence of thought and speech, God. And Lord, I pray and ask for forgiveness for all my sins where I've sinned and failed, God, and not been what I should be. God, I'm just unworthy, and I know that, but I thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace toward me and toward sinners, God, that are willing to come to repentance. God, I just pray you be with us tonight. Help our hearts and our minds to see this scripture. Lord, help it to be new and fresh, but also help us, Lord, to hide these things in our hearts. Lord, that we not be fearful, but we be wise, understanding and knowing how to better help people, God, and explain things to people when people are making light of situations that are mentioned in the Bible, events and things that are to come, that we would be able to, with love and kindness, God, be able to explain these things to them and help them to better see and understand the importance of being ready before it's too late. But God, I pray again, you go with me, go with all of us tonight, help our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray you be with Brother Robert. Really have him on my heart and mind, God, and just really pray for him, Lord, and pray for that family. God, help us, Lord. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this is really, you could absolutely preach this, but I don't want to get, I guess you'd say, in a big way and run past things. I really want to just kind of take time to study through it And I know probably several have studied these verses or heard these verses, definitely preached, and again, maybe at funeral services. But it's good sometimes to slow down and see the different places that things are mentioned in the Bible. I want to say this, if the Bible mentions something one time, that's absolutely enough. I've heard people say, well, the Bible only mentions X one time, like it's not an important factor. Well, one time is enough. But when you look at this study, you're going to see different things it mentioned in different places, different scripture that is used, and a lot of it does come from Paul and his New Testament church preaching. But in verse number one, what he brings out here, this is what I refer to as the doctrine of the rapture. And the way he's explaining this, the way he starts out, is that I don't want anybody to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know or not understand what is being taught and said here. He's trying to have people prepared to be ready. And how do you prepare somebody to be ready for something when you yourself don't know when it's going to happen? The one thing you can do, and you'll see how to be prepared here in just a minute, but you'll see that. But it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? You got to break it down maybe in baby bites. And so what he's referring to here is those who are asleep. That's those who have already died. That's who are dead physically. They have laid their physical bodies down. That's who he's talking about. Those people wanting to know where they at. Where are my loved ones? Am I going to see my loved ones again? I'm sure people would have questions. And you got to understand, at the time of the writing of the Bible, people had questions. They couldn't go back and read it. And so that's why, in part, this letter is being written so people could know and understand that he would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's making the teaching here. He's making the explanation that if a person is saved, when they pass away, their soul goes to a better place. They have somewhere to be. I want you to know this and understand the body is temporal. It is not going to last forever. And as you get older, you realize maybe sometimes you know it's not going to last forever. And you're like, gosh, I really know it ain't going to last forever. And how much longer is it going to last? Sometimes you have that question. This body is temporal. But also know, too, that the soul is not. It's eternal. The soul never dies. The soul is going to live on and on and on. Once a person, you see the teaching in John, the Gospel of John, Nicodemus, when he was explaining, Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus the fact and the importance of being born again, talking about this physical birth taking place. Once the physical birth takes place, that soul is born. That soul is created. And so it has a start, but it has no end. That soul lives forever and ever and ever. It's going to be somewhere for all eternity, and it's going to be somewhere with a conscious mind of what's going on. You think about the teaching and doctrine of hell, they are aware of where they're at, and they're in constant pain. You think about those that have accepted Christ, and they have gone on to heaven, they're in constant paradise. That's the difference. It's important to know that and understand. See, Paul's trying to explain this here, that you sorrow not. We're saddened when our loved ones have passed on and gone on. We're saddened, but he's saying don't sorrow. Try not to be sorrowful. Try not to be sad, even as others which have no hope, because those who have accepted Christ have hope. They truly are in a better place. It's hard for us to see that and comprehend that in our physical minds and where we're at. But that is the truth of it. And look at what Philippians 1:23 says. It says, for I am a strait betwixt two. This is Paul talking. He's saying, I'm in the middle of two thoughts here. This is where my heart's at. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. If you're saved, you should have a desire to want to be with him. Amen. I mean, you think about that. I want to go, and people talk about the rapture. I wish the Lord would just come on. But, you know, at the same time, I also think about lost people. Think about lost family members. I think about people who aren't ready to go yet. I have a burden for them, and I'd like the Lord to not come back until they get saved. Amen? I mean, is that when you want to see that? It's easy sometimes to see and feel and know how bad things are. But you see, Paul, what he's saying here, he's in a twixt. He's fixed between two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But he's also seeing that he had an importance of being here with these people, to reach out to them and to want to lead them to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So those, I want you to see what he's teaching here. What he's saying is, if you have passed on in this physical body, you have passed on and you've accepted Christ, you're now with him. You see, that's where Paul's mind was at. You're talking about somebody that had a real close walking relationship with the Lord, and he knew where he was going. He knew who he was talking about. He knew who he was teaching about, and he had a desire to be there. But he at the same time understood the importance of him being here on this earth to take care of those who were still here. And also, you think about this blessed hope. It says here, which have no hope. Titus 2:13 talks about those who are saved having a blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, that's the hope that we have. He's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the rapture. That's our hope. I tell you, we got a better chance. I've said it before. We got a better chance than anybody in history to be a part of those who remain when the Lord's return, when he returns. That is my hope. You imagine not having to die and getting to pass right on and see the Lord returning. And that's going to happen fast. I want you to know that. It's going to be a very quick thing. I was thinking about that yesterday. You know, that moment, that's the most blessed hope, the glorious thing a child of God could experience is be living, being here, doing this, and the next thing you know, you hear the trumpet. Jesus steps out on the cloud with the shout and the archangel, and then boom, you're there. And you know more in this flesh, Brother Dale, that's good. That's as good as it can get. Now you think about that. Now you think about those, our friends, loved ones, people who maybe mocking unknowingly, what have you, making fun of things. You think in that instance, if they've heard this, they're going to know exactly what happened. And then the next thought is, what do I do now? What's my next point of action? What do I need? Let's go to that book that talks about this and let's see what it says. The sad thing about it is, once they read that and they see that, they're going to find out at that point in time they don't have any hope. They don't have that blessed hope. That time has ran out for them. Those who have denied the gospel, and I tell you, that's serious business, and people do not understand or what they're toying around with when they get to that, get in that position. Now you say, okay, you've got my attention now. You've got my attention. Now what do I need to do to be ready? How do I escape this wrath? How do I be prepared for this? What do I need to do? And you know, Paul goes directly into that in this next verse. He explains it. For if we believe that Jesus died and he arose again, he goes straight into the gospel. I want you to know tonight, it's important, saved or lost, long-time Christian, short-time Christian, the power of the gospel should never get old and just boring or something like that to the child of God. Never. Never. That is the power that we have to become the sons of God. For if we believe that Jesus died and he arose again, Jesus dying on the cross, on the third day he arose again. He died on the cross for our sin. He's our go-between. He's our propitiation. He is our sacrifice. Us being imperfect, not perfect, needing a sacrifice, he is the one who took the place. He took our place. And that's what Paul is describing here. And he's saying, if you believe this, if you believe that he died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. It just keeps getting better. You see, it's a progression. And it happens very quickly. Bible says, you'll see here in a minute, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this happens so fast that you don't get to put it in slow motion and think this thing through. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be ready. That's what the Bible is teaching. That's what Paul is teaching. You got to be ready before this event takes place, because not only is it you, but all those that have gone on, your loved ones, you'll get to see them. The Bible is teaching here, Paul is telling us that God is going to bring them with him. They're in heaven with God now. Our loved ones that have gone on. And guess what? When he steps out on the cloud, he brings them with him. It's not just Jesus, which that's enough that we get to see, but it's everybody that's gone on before us. That's a crowd. That's got to be a big cloud, Brother Allen. That's big. I mean, this is something that you can't reenact. This is something that's a one-time event, and that's it. Either you are present, you get to partake in it, or you miss it. It's a one-time event. You know, you're talking about all the signs that you get to see about the moon and everything going on and in the sky and the clouds and everything. And this is a once every 100-year event. This is a one-time event in all of creation. And I pray and I hope I do. I have hope, that blessed hope, that I get to go that way. I mean, you see that it's described here. And not to have to, Lord willing, taste death. But you know what? If I do, that's okay too. He's got me either way. Amen, I tell you, that's a blessed hope, to be able to have that, be able to go to sleep at night knowing that the Lord has you. He's got you in his hands, and he's got you, and he loves you, and he's going to take care of you. That's the sweetest feeling that you can have. What he is saying here, the only thing, I've got it right here, belief in God, in the gospel, is the only way to be ready for the rapture. I tell you, I do. I said this. I hear a lot of people say, I wish he'd just come on. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I think in that moment, our flesh is going to try to be figuring out what is going on. I tell you, sometimes it's easy to get in a big way. But when you think about all this coming together, I don't know how ready our flesh truly is. I think the spirit can be ready and want to go. But I tell you, this flesh can have a hard time with it. But it's a beautiful thing to see that Jesus is going to bring those. God will bring with him those that have already passed on and gone that are with him. And you look at verse number 15. Now you want to know the authority of where this is coming from. It's in the Bible. Paul is the one doing the writing, but I want you to see on the authority this doctrine comes from. It said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This is the Lord's teaching. This isn't something made in the 1800s, 1900s that man has made up. This is something God made up. This is something that the Lord had predestined. This is how it's going to be. As things come to an end, there has to be that last day, that last event. There has to be. You think about all through time, there had to be that day that Christ went to the cross. And see, that's come and gone. And you think about this, he ascended into heaven. What else is the next major event to take place in the history of all creation? I would say it would be the rapture of the church. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. See, there's an order. God always has an order to things. Maybe I've seen this before, but maybe not. It just seemed to really jump out at me today. There's an order. So you and I, let's say if the Lord comes while you and I remain, we're alive, we're not going to prevent those who have gone on. Prevent, that means to proceed. We're not going to beat them there. They're talking about their soul has already returned, but we're talking about that new glorified body that he's talking about here. I find this very interesting. We're not going to prevent them which are asleep. You look at that in verse number again, 15, by the authority of the Lord's word, prevent, proceed. I want to make sure I have everything given to you. There's going to be an order in which this takes place. The next verse you see, Jesus is the first fruits. He's the one. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. And he arose on the third day. He's the first fruits. He's the first one to lay his life down and then be able to take it up. So what he's teaching here, if you believe in me and that I have that power, you can also be raised up. That's what he's talking about here at that day. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. This is how, again, this happens very quickly. will descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to come down. It's hard for me to imagine it any other way that we'll hear a shout. And we'll be trying to figure out what's going on, but it's going to happen very quickly. A little while ago when it started raining, Brandy said, "Is that thunder?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't hear thunder. I didn't know if it was or not." But I tell you, when that takes place, I think we're going to know pretty quickly what is going on. It's something that nobody's ever heard before. We've never seen God. Man has not seen God at any time. So when this takes place, it's going to be, I know we use the word emotions, feelings, it's going to be a different experience all the way around. It's going to happen very quickly. And you see how these things come to, together in verses 16 and 17. There's about six different things that happen all about the same time. The Lord descends from heaven into the clouds with a shout. And then you also see it here with the voice of the archangel. So you'll hear also, you'll hear a shout. I believe the Lord shouting. Nobody wants his bride more than the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about all these years he's waited for us to be together. Not just those that have passed on and gone on, but all of us together. You're talking about the entire family, the entire church being together in the same place at the same time for the first time. He's excited. That's what he's waiting for. That's what he wants. But you know what the Bible says too, that only God the Father knows when that day is going to be. Not even the Son just yet. He's going to be excited. When God says, "Hey, go get him," he's going to shout. We're going to be playing catch up a little bit, I believe, at that point in time. But it also says here with the voice of the archangel, there's only one archangel mentioned in the Word of God by name. One time in the Bible, that's Jude, the only one chapter, verse 9. And that's the archangel Michael. So I would believe, based off what the Bible says, and the one archangel I know, it's probably Michael. That's some pretty descriptive information that the Bible gives us there when you put Scripture together. But you'll hear the shout, the voice of the archangel. With the trump of God, you'll hear the trumpet. All those, you say you think the lost people will hear it? I don't know. I know I will. I know I will. What's the point of blowing a trumpet if you're not going to hear it? I believe it's going to wake people up. And that's exactly what happens. The next thing here, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I think what you're seeing here is the first fruits. Again, Jesus, the first. He's the one, the first one. The second will be those who have died and gone on. I'll just mention this here. You know, sometimes you think, should I mention it, should I not? But I've had people ask this question several times. Well, cremation? What about cremation? Is that right? Is that wrong? Well, the basis of creation, what people were doing, some of the atheists were doing, were, I'll tell you what, he's not going to raise me. I'll burn my body. So there'll be nothing to raise. What about that? Well, I'll tell you, when you're raised in a new glorified body, you're going to have a new body either way. You know, there's events. I heard Preacher Derek even talking about this one time. There's events, car accidents, house fires and things where people had no control where that happened. But here's the thing. We all get a new glorified body. And we're not going to prevent. It's not going to prevent God from giving a new body. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you're going to see the order of this. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have gone on, you're going to see them in their new glorified body. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, what happens next? We get caught up. You know, when people ask and they say, where do you get rapture? Where do you get that word rapture in the Bible? The word rapture is not in the Bible. It's not by the word rapture. But if you look up the concept, the context of caught up in the Latin language, that's where that word comes from. It's a Latin word. You know, I don't get caught up in all those kind of things, but just to let you know where that came from, and people talk about the rapture, that's why. And Latin was a predominant language during this time when things were being written. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So what you've got Jesus stepping out, you hear a trumpet, you hear Michael the archangel, and then you see those, the new glorified bodies, those that have gone on being raised, and all of a sudden we're being caught up there together with them also. That's a sight to see. All something that's going to take place very, very fast. I'll tell you this, 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to have a new glorified body. The dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ being the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming, those who have accepted Christ. Then we which alive are alive and remain. You look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. I highly recommend you read 1 Corinthians 15 when you get home, and you put it with these with this chapter here in 1 Thessalonians. You'll see it's a very companion-styled chapter to read. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see, this is talking about being caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I when I ask you this, and I say this, is there any misconception about what is taking place here? You see the studying of what it is, and I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, is that not kind of pretty plain? We're being called up to meet Him in the air. We're being called to be with Him. I think that's pretty plain, but I want you to know Jesus has yet to set foot back on the earth at this time. When you look at the second coming of Christ, you look at the rapture. We're talking about the rapture tonight, but there's also the time when the Lord Jesus comes back and He steps foot on this earth. That's the second part of this. I want us to see that and understand that. See, I want you to know this. I'm a pre-millennialist. I'm a pre-rapture. We don't go through the rapture. When the church is called out, we're in heaven during the tribulation period. The church is up there with Him, not going through the tribulation period. There's all kinds of verses that we can look at and talk about that. We'll be there with Him. How could we come back with Him if we're not with Him? That's a question I'll ask you right there. But caught up together, I'm going to read some more verses in a couple other places real quick also. And again, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Once we're with Him, we never leave His sight. Those who have gone on before never leave His sight. When Jesus steps out on the cloud, He doesn't say, hey, wait a second, I'll be right back. He brings them with Him. You never leave His side. You think about being a bride of somebody. You think about the typology of that. What a husband He is. What a groom He is. He never leaves His bride alone. He's right there with His bride. Once you're with Him, you're always with Him. And I tell you, once you're saved, you're always saved. I tell you, the typology is there. And I hope you believe in that and know that and understand that tonight. In the clouds to meet the Lord and be in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But I wanted to read Matthew chapter 24, a couple of verses here. And you don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 24, we've gone through several times. But this is a sign of His coming. Now this is talking about His coming after the tribulation period. When you're talking about when He returns and He is stepping foot back on this earth to start out the millennial reign. This is when Christ reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but I just want you to see this tonight. And talking about the sign of His coming, that's the subscription that I have in my Bible. This is the sign of His coming after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's the explanation, that's giving you the time period, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven and the other. And He goes to the other. He's talking about gathering everybody in heaven all together and coming together. Now, if you also look at Revelation chapter number 19, I want to close right here. Again, I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, and maybe if you go back, if you ever watch the live or what have you, if you want to write these things down or have those things. You can pause it maybe or look at it. But Revelation 19 verses 11 through 16. This is getting on down in history. When you start looking at what John saw, what the Lord allowed him to see, getting on down toward history, toward the end of time, as we know it, this side of eternity. And it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." This is talking about none other than Jesus Christ. You know, all this stuff that we see going on today, all this craziness, I don't know how else to call it, just it seems like if it makes any sense, just do the opposite of that. You see a lot of that going on in the world. You see the confusion, the chaos, everything that the devil, the prince and power of the air, is throwing at this world. This is when Jesus said, "It's enough. It's enough. I'm going to return, and I'm making everything right. I'm setting everything right." Again, faithful and true. "In righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Now you remember when the Word came and dwelt among men, when he came down to this earth, that's none other than Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God. All man, all flesh, walking the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I want to stop right there. Who's those armies in heaven? Who are those people? It's all those people that came down on that cloud to meet all those that were alive and remained at that time, that were caught up at that time. And guess what? Now we're all together. And now we're all behind King Jesus, the new reigning ruler of this all creation. He already is in my heart, and I believe he is yours, but he's going to show the world once and for all. So who's all these people? If all these people were supposed to be down here during the tribulation period, how could they be up there with him? I want you to see that. There's clues in God's word. If you slow down and you see it, and it's like, well, wait a second. If this is us, then we have to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We never leave his side. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the bride of Christ. That's the church. That's you and I that have accepted him. "And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is the time when all this stuff that's being made fun of and people make light of it and they don't see the truth in it, they don't see the seriousness in it, they will at this time. And I don't say that boastfully. I guess I try to look at it like this. What if it was me on the other side? That's the compassion you and I need to have today, that we don't have people. Remember, travel agent, I want y'all to go with me. We got a destination to go to, a much better place to go to. And I don't want anybody to see this, anybody to take part in this on that side of things. And you don't have to. "And the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God," this is when he sets everything right. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's when he actually steps down on this earth and he comes back. And that's when the millennial reign starts. And you see Armageddon, you see the battle commence after that. I'm going to stop there tonight. I know that's a lot to take in, but it's hard to talk about the rapture and only talk about the front end of it and not show you the doctrine and teaching of what takes place during the tribulation and when he actually returns. The return of Christ is a two-step process, if you will, when you actually talk about him actually returning to this earth. But I hope that's a